Bibles with you, I'd like you to now turn to the Gospel of Luke this evening. The Gospel of Luke to the 22nd chapter. Our passage this evening will be Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. It's the institution of the Lord's Supper as Luke records it for us. And tonight might be a little more technical on some matters, but I hope that technicality brings forth the fruit of a greater appreciation for Christ and the fullness of His work for us. We're going to be looking at what I'll call Jesus, the cups, and the Lord's Supper. And maybe you can begin already thinking and wondering what that might be, what that reference might be, even in the title. But let's give our careful hearing this evening and our careful attention to God's holy and infallible Word. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. And when the hour came, He reclined at table, and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in My blood. Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Father, as I just prayed, we desire to see Jesus and learn of Him more thoroughly tonight from Your Word. And so we pray again for Your blessing upon the reading of the Word and now the preaching of it. Please, Father, give us open hearts and give us ears to hear the message that Your Spirit has for the church today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As we came to the end of the book of Genesis recently, I made mention as we were coming towards the end of how Jacob's individual coming out of Egypt to be buried in the promised land, that was actually a foreshadowing of the future exodus of all of Israel coming out of Egypt, which even the Egyptian exodus was itself just a foreshadowing of the ultimate exodus, which came about through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. Well, this evening, as we come to the Lord's table, I'd like us to consider further tonight the fulfillment of the redemption that was promised in the Old Testament. In other words, I want us to think a bit more about how Christ actually fulfills the promises of redemption that come from the Old Testament. But this time, I want us to do that instead of looking at it from the vantage point of Genesis looking forward, but rather from the vantage point of the Lord's Supper looking back to actually the Passover. And that is because there actually is the closest, radically close, biblically close, inseparably close relationship and association between the New Covenant Lord's Supper and the Old Covenant Passover. What I'm meaning by that is what was pictured in the Passover, what was pictured through all the different acts, came to be fulfilled in Christ's suffering and death. In fact, to initially see the biblical connection between Passover and the Lord's Supper, all we need to do is remember that, and there's quite a few of these, but just remember the Passover was the meal given to the Israelites right before the Exodus. The Lord's Supper is the meal given to the church right before the cross, our Exodus in Christ. That is, and bringing us now into our text this evening, and you might see there, and you probably heard as I read, beginning in verse 14 there, that Israel, this takes us back, so as we think about this, Israel ate their first Passover on the eve of their salvation from Egyptian slavery. And what's before us in our passage tonight is the church eating its first Passover on the eve of our salvation from slavery to sin. Again, just as God instituted a sacramental meal before the actual Exodus from Egypt, so too we see Jesus institutes a sacramental meal for the church before his actual Exodus death for our sin. And so we see these parallels there. Maybe the most obvious and clearest one is that Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper right in the middle of, in the midst of the celebration of the Passover. And what I want us to focus on this evening, though, very briefly before coming to the Lord's table together, is the importance of, and this is kind of a strange thing, and that's why I warned you up front that this might be a little bit more on the technical side of things, but I want us to focus this evening on the drink references that are given in our passage, in that they help us to not only see really the beauty and fullness of God's redemption for His people, but I hope, and what I'm aiming at tonight, is that they also show us the sufficiency and the finality of our redemption in Jesus Christ. In other words, I want us to come to the Lord's table this evening as a congregation, absolutely convinced of our security in and of the completeness of the saving work of Jesus Christ for sinners. And I think we get a hint of that in considering something that's implied in the passage here, but not specifically drawn out by Luke. And that is the matter of the various cups that are referenced here in Christ's institution of his meal. And so let's consider, first of all, tonight the cups, plural, the cups of the Passover. As we begin to consider these cups, a way to get us into the discussion is, I want you to notice in verses 14 through 18. And look at verses 14 through 18 here, something important for us to see. Luke writes, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Now, I want you to notice that in verse 16, when Jesus refers to the fact that he will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God, and in verse 17, when he takes up a cup and has his disciples distribute it, and then he says there in verse 18 that he will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes, what we need to see is that those references are to parts of the Passover Those are not two parts of the Lord's Supper. Those references are not that cup that Jesus first picks and blesses and gives out. That's not part of the Lord's Supper. That's part of the Passover. The Passover celebration, the Passover tradition in Israel involved eating various types of solid food, and it involved drinking 4 cups of wine. And during the Passover, each of the cups of wine actually had a reference. Each of these cups was very deliberate in it. It had a reference to one of what was called the 4 redemptions. The 4 redemptions that were seen by Jews to be mentioned in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. If you have the outline for the sermon in front of you, if you grab the bulletin tonight, I have that passage there. I'd like you to listen for these, and I'm going to actually demarcate them with a 1 that's not part of the original text. A 1, a 2, a 3, a 4. So please note that. Exodus 6, verses 6 through 7. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and here's the first one, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. 2, I will deliver you from slavery to them. 3, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. And 4, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Those are the 4 redemptions that the Israelites looked at Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, and they said these are the 4 redemptions of God bringing us out of Egypt. Now here is what we need to see to be able to actually make sense of the record here of Jesus' institution of the Lord's Supper, which is being done, as I mentioned a moment ago, in the very midst of celebrating the last Passover. So Jesus is referencing this four cups of redemption tradition as they're celebrating the very last Passover. Jesus references them. Here's the first one. I will bring you up, the first cup, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The first cup in the celebration of Passover was intended to start the celebration of the Passover, and it always included a blessing and a thanksgiving to God with words from, and so every time the Passover was celebrated, it used set liturgical form prayers. And the basic prayer at the beginning of the Passover with this cup, this first cup, were the words, "Blessed be thou, Lord our God, King of the world, who has created the fruit of the vine." And therefore, we read in verse 17 here that Jesus took the cup. And again, this was the cup of thanksgiving. And when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Given this common and entrenched Passover tradition of the first cup, I think it seems pretty clear that is what we are reading about here. And that is all the more probable because we're told that Jesus gave thanks for it, and then he used that technical liturgical term of the first cup prayer, the fruit of the vine, when speaking to the disciples during the drinking of it. Now what I want to do now is just run through the final 3 cups, not giving a lot of attention to them at this point, but I'm going to try to explain in a little while here where we might see them and where I think we do see them in the New Testament. The second cup, I will deliver you from slavery to them. The second cup, was drunk after an explanation of the reason behind the Passover. In other words, when God passed over the houses of the Israelites because of the blood on the doorposts. And they would drink this second cup after an explanation and after the singing of the first part of what is called the Egyptian Hallel. Now, what's the Egyptian Hallel? The Egyptian Hallel is a segment of the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. That's called the Egyptian Hallel, or Hallelujah. The Hallelujah is coming out of Egypt. In other words, this is what was sung every time the Israelites would celebrate the Passover. They would sing the Egyptian Hallel. We read tonight the call to worship came from the very first words of the Egyptian Hallel, Psalm 113. So that was what our call to worship was. Well, this second cup was drunk in grateful response for God delivering his people from the bondage of slavery by bringing judgments upon the Egyptians. The third cup, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. The third cup always followed the eating of the meal, so it came after they ate. And it was preeminently considered the cup of redemption. The cup of redemption, because it coincided with the third deliverance mentioned there in Exodus 6:6. I will, and there's the word, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. And the fourth cup, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. The fourth cup was the, and this is a little longer, it's the cup of the future coming of the kingdom of God. It was the cup of the future, it was the cup of the coming of the kingdom of God, where God would gather his people as a nation, and he would rule and reign in their midst. Again, it coincided with the fourth deliverance mentioned in Exodus 6:7, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. So, in summary, and if you're wanting to fill in the blanks here, the summary, let me give you these summaries. The four cups were traditionally or commonly referred to. The first cup was the cup of thanksgiving. The second cup was the cup of judgment. The third cup was the cup of redemption. And the fourth cup was the cup of the kingdom. Now, with that traditional Passover background before us, I want us to now move to the cup of the Lord's Supper. It's quite clear from reading the passage, and maybe some of you feel this tension as you're sitting here tonight and you're wondering, where in the world was Dave this morning? what is influencing him? It's quite clear from reading the passage to see that Luke does not explain all of this background to his readers, but he likely assumed that they would know what he was talking about when he made these vague references to the four different cups that would have been common knowledge to those who are familiar with the Passover as it was celebrated at this time. It would be something like, and I think I've used this analogy before, if we heard of a birthday party that had taken place, and you know, I don't think this could happen. Actually, I know it can't happen. But what if someone like from, you know, 400 years ago was somehow privy to what went on in our day and age? That's just a terrible analogy, but anyway, it'll make sense when I get through it here. and they said, you know, well, we went to this birthday party. Oh, and then there was the blowing out of the candles. You know, and we're all like, okay, we know what that means. I mean, you don't even have to explain it, because we know birthday parties. We understand the customs, and we understand what goes on at a birthday party. And so that doesn't need to be explained, but from someone who would not be familiar with our customs and the way that we celebrate birthday parties, they'd be like, why were they blowing out candles at this party? What's the point? Well, that blowing out of candles reference that is so clear to us is what Luke's references would have been like to his readers, because they knew Passover celebrations. He didn't have to fill in all of the details, because he knew those who were originally reading his gospel would have known what those references were. And so Luke doesn't explain all this, but I think that in Luke 22, just in this one chapter, we actually have references to all four of these cups. I'd like us to briefly look at that before we conclude this evening. The first cup, the cup of thanksgiving, is referred to, as we have noted a moment ago, right there in verse 17 of Luke 22. And he took a cup and gave thanks. And it's interesting that the Lord's Supper has been referred to throughout church history as the Eucharist, which means the thanksgiving. And that's entirely appropriate. That's an entirely appropriate name for the Lord's table, in that we participate with joy, thanking God for our salvation in Jesus Christ. So there was that first cup, verse 17 of Luke 22, the thanksgiving. The second cup, the cup of judgment, it's actually skipped over by Luke here in the narrative. But I believe that it very likely may be referred to later on in the chapter. Look at verse 42 for a minute. Look at verse 42. This is Jesus when he's praying on the Mount of Olives. Remember, this is the cup of judgment. And he withdrew, this is verse 41, from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." You see, we eat and we drink in joy at this meal precisely because Jesus drank the cup of judgment for us. He drank it down to its dregs so that we can come now in joy, because he bore our judgment in our place. The third cup, the cup of redemption, that's referred to in verse 20. It's right there. This was the cup that came after the Passover meal, as it says here. And this is the cup we drink in the Lord's Supper. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. That is, and this is the tie there, this is the cup of redemption. Well, we have redemption in his blood. He paid it all. Jesus explicitly is the Passover lamb slain for our sins and for our salvation. He epitomizes, and he in his person is our redemption. Particularly the pouring out of his blood is what paid for our redemption. And finally, the fourth cup, the cup of the kingdom, that's referred to possibly, but I think likely, in verse 18, where Jesus says, "I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Again, this is the cup of the kingdom. And Jesus is saying there's this future cup. There's that fourth cup that I will drink of at some later date. It's like we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we eat this bread and we drink this cup until he comes again. This cup, the fourth cup, was to orient the people of God in all ages. The Jews, it was to orient them to a future time when our Savior comes again and brings us all safely home to Himself, it tells us that there is this future-looking aspect to redemption, Jesus' second coming. And so it seems that there is a lot going on here in the institution of the Lord's Supper, which is actually playing off of the deeply ingrained Jewish observance of the Passover. And again, this would have been much more clear to original readers than it is to us, at least at first glance. But thanks to the very careful historical record which Luke, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, took pains to write out, with a little bit of digging and a little bit of background, we can actually begin to see some of these things and hopefully benefit from them. Indeed, as we conclude this evening, we need to see how all those cups are now combined into the one cup of blessing in the Lord's Supper. There's a phenomenon that happens as you look at the Passover get replaced by the Lord's Supper. There's a radical simplifying that takes place. We didn't even go into all the different types of solid food that was in the Passover, let alone what we looked at, the four cups that were involved in the Passover. But in the Lord's Supper, everything is simplified, and we're down to one kind of solid food, bread. And there is one cup now in the Lord's Supper. And I think that one reason why we see this simplifying of the complexity of the old to the simple and the new is because what we're being taught in this is that Jesus actually fulfills all of that comprehensively. He is the fulfillment of every part of the Passover, every part of the redemption. He is the fulfillment of all four parts of redemption that the Jews recognized. There were these nuances to their exodus out of Egypt, to their redemption. And Christ in Himself and in His work is the fulfillment of them all. And so I want us, just as we conclude here, before we come to the table this evening, I want us to take one more look at Christ in relation to the four cups of the Passover. As Jesus gave thanks to God, blessing the first cup of thanksgiving, we too, as Paul says in Colossians 3:17, we are to do everything now in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. There must be an element of thanksgiving, Eucharist, when we come to the table. Very often, we get overly morose about coming to the table. We lose the idea that this is to be a grateful thanksgiving to God for what He's done for us. In fact, the source of the greatest joy that we could possibly know is because of what Christ has done. And so we need to come and recognize part of the cup we drink should be a thanksgiving. It should be a cup of blessing and thanksgiving. We see the goodness of God particularly shown to us, though, in the fact that Jesus came in our place and He drank that second cup. He drank the cup of judgment, the cup of the wrath and curse of God against us and our sins. Paul tells us, and Paul constantly was mining the Old Testament to show the context in which Christ's work was to be understood. Paul tells us in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. One of the reasons, and Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, is to pull our eyes off of ourselves. Because often we come to the Lord's table thinking about our own performance. Have I done enough to come to this table? The question is, has Christ done enough for you to come to this table? He bore entirely the wrath of God in the place of His people. There's an absolute sufficiency that we drink of and drink to at the Lord's table. That curse bearing on His part, as we just read, is the actual price Jesus paid to redeem us. And therefore, he gives us that third cup, the cup of redemption. It's interesting. The cup of redemption is at the part of the Passover, that's the cup that Jesus says, this now is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Our redemption is forever tied to and inseparable from the shedding of the blood of Christ. And so we can now, by faith, as we sing in Psalm 116:13, that's one of those Hallel Psalms, we can now take up the cup of salvation because Christ poured out his blood for us. That was the price of redemption. And so that third cup, that's really what we're holding there, is that cup of redemption. And finally, as we're told, when we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And as Jesus has promised, we will eat and drink with him in his kingdom when he returns. That fourth cup, the cup of the kingdom, which Jesus himself will drink when he returns, that reminds us that God has made a covenant with us that he will honor and he will fulfill. He will be a God to us and to our children. So Jesus is the fulfillment of the Passover. Jesus is the one in whom we give thanks. He is the one who took the judgment of God for us. He is the one who brought in everlasting redemption, and he is the one who is bringing in the kingdom. Jesus is the hope of Israel. Jesus is the desire of the nations. Jesus is the Savior of sinners, and Jesus is the joy of the church. You are complete in him, and he is fully able and sufficient to save you from your sin. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the sufficiency of his work for us. And Father, as we come to the table this evening, we pray that we might be full of joy and we might be in awe of the great, sufficient, comprehensive work of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you would give us a picture of these things in the past, pointing us forward and enabling us to understand the very fullness of Jesus and his work for us. And so, Father, as we come to the table tonight as your people, oh Lord, may it be that we are filled with joy and gladness and wonder and peace and security, because your Son was perfect and sufficient and did it all. May we rest in his finished work tonight and look forward to the glorious coming of his kingdom. We do pray these things in his name. Amen.